Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hello, infidels. Welcome to Sharia Free Radio, where Islamist barbarians are Islamist barbarians. Well, pure American muscle car music is what's on my mind. Inappropriate muscle car music from the heyday of America when the cars were fast, the glass was thick, and the women were straight. Welcome to the program. No, it's when the chrome was thick, the glass was thick, and the women were straight. It was another time in American history. And now that we've all become softened up by the psychos who run the government media complex, the question of the day is this. I received this just before the show from my good friend Joseph Farah. And he said, Michael, if you have a minute before the show, one, Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama once questioned the safety of vaccines and thought there could be a link between vaccines and autism. Why are they backing away now? Two, Rand Paul says parents should have the choice to vaccinate their kids. However, he also said he vaccinated his children. Do you think he went far enough in his comments? Specifically, Michael, should parents trust the MMR vaccine to protect from measles? Three, do you think the vaccine controversy is simply a media creation to attack the Republicans? More importantly, why do you think anti-vaxxers are getting the blame rather than open borders? After all, the outbreak is in California, not in Dr. Paul's Kentucky or Christie's New Jersey. Four, Michael, what is your take on Christie walking back his comments and saying there is no question every child should be vaccinated for measles? And here's my answer a minute ago. Joe, we should be vaccinated against radical Islam, not measles. This is a clever way for the Alinsky crowd to shift the subject from their failed war on terror to their war on anti-vaccinators. The medico-pharmaceutical complex is running this. It's the new litmus test. Are you now or have you ever been against protecting our children? Remember Hillary's use of children as a theme in the past, Joe. That was my short answer. I think Robert agrees with it because he's shaking his head yes. Now, earlier on, I was asked about the origins of the measles outbreak in America, and it's pretty clear to me that it came in with the illegals. Remember that one? We talked about that earlier. We know that Obama committed a crime against humanity by dumping many ill people, mothers and children primarily, on us this summer unscreened. Many of them brought in a killer virus, measles, tuberculosis, and other illnesses. I'm just telling you like it is. It's a medical fact. But my answer was even clearer than that when I sent the answer, which I can't find right now. I don't know where it is. But I pretty much answered it myself without anyone helping me. I can answer it again. The fact of the matter is these kids came in from countries where these diseases are endemic. And in the past, as you well know, we had Ellis Island. And people who looked sick or were not vaccinated were either vaccinated and kept in quarantine for a certain period of time or sent back to their country of origin. That is when America was run by men who wanted to protect the population rather than infect the population. And that's why I concluded that whoever has permitted this, and that would be the stooge at the CDC, the stooge at the NIH, and Obama himself, are committing a form of medical genocide. Or if you don't want to go to that extreme, let's say that offends you, then how about plain old negligence? All of you shyster lawyers who sue doctors for negligence, all you shyster liberal lawyers from New York, pay attention, shyster lawyers from New York. You sue people for mistakes if they're doctors, don't you? Calling it negligence, negligence, negligence. You live on it, you bum. You send your daughter to college on the medical negligence suits, don't you? Well, how about when your government commits medical negligence and brings in sick people and infects whole populations? Put that into your marijuana pipe and smoke it. So that's my answer. I mean, I'm getting emotional, as I said I wouldn't, but I did. This is the Savage Nation. It's unprotected talk. Name station topic when I call your number. I don't want to just get stuck on these topics because there are so many other important topics. Mainly this issue of radical Islam setting a man on fire and the media basically covering it up. You say, well, they covered it. Yeah, but they covered it up immediately. They covered it by covering it up immediately. immediately they went into overdrive that it's not Islam, it's not Islamic, Muslims don't do it. This is all the while they're chanting Allah, Akbar, while they're setting him on fire. It has nothing to do with Islam, but as I said yesterday, it's ISIS. That's an acronym for Islamic State. ISIS. So that became uncomfortable for whatever her name is, Amanpour, you know, the girl in Havana there for them. And Obama, they don't want to say ISIS anymore, so now they call it an organization. But I'll remind you of something. They call themselves ISIS, not Crisis, because they're not a Christian organization. They call themselves ISIS, not JISIS, because they're not a Jewish organization. They call themselves ISIS, not BISIS, because they're not a Buddhist organization. And they call themselves ISIS, not HISIS, because they're not a Hindu organization. They set that Jordanian pilot on fire. Not Hindus, not Jews, not Christians, not Buddhists. It was Muslims, 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 Muslims. Oh, I know there's a difference between the good ones who don't like this. And of course, it was a Muslim who was set on fire. Trust me, I see the nuance of the situation. I understand it was Muslims killing a Muslim. But they are Islamic. And they're interpreting their holy book in the most extreme manner. In the 9th, in the 6th or 7th century manner. That is what they are doing. Don't tell me they don't have a Quran. I don't believe that cover story by that double-talking lout, that spy. I don't believe a word of it. So the question really is how can we win a war on terror when the same people who are denying ISIS is Islamic are telling us that there's no war on terror and there's no terror conducted by Muslims? What I'm about to play for you should make all of you alarmed. What you are about to hear is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, as it comes to us from the biggest liar in America, which is, who would be, the spokesmouth for Barack Hussein Obama, this guy Ernest, who should be tried for crimes against humanity when this administration is finally brought to heel. Listen to clip two.
The focus of this conference will be on ensuring there is this persistent problem that the president has been concerned about for some time, this issue of foreign fighters. And the success that organizations like ISIL have had in radicalizing people all across the globe. And we want to work. There are communities in this country where law enforcement officials have worked successfully with community leaders, many in the Muslim community, to counteract those efforts to radicalize vulnerable young people in most cases.
Okay, stop right there. So he's being asked, will the upcoming summit on extremism focus on radical Islam? Now listen to what this criminal says in three.
We certainly have significant concerns, and they are well justified, about the kind of radicalization efforts that are being targeted at the Muslim community, and that there are Muslim children in particular who are at grave risk. But they're not the only ones at risk. We've talked about other violent extremists who are not Muslim who've carried out acts of violence in this country. And we're interested in countering those as well. And I'd be surprised if anybody thought that was not a worthy endeavor.
Does this leave you speechless? So they're taking an upcoming summit on extremism to talk about extremism, not about radical Islam. I can guarantee you it'll be about homophobia. It'll be about police extremism against black people. Let's see, extremism against, you name it, anything but the obvious. So, my friends, we're living in dangerous times when we have criminals running the media and the government. And if you look up the word criminal, you'll see that I'm not incorrect in using that word. They're committing a crime of lying to the American people on such a huge scale that I don't know how we can ever win a war against these throwbacks if they won't even define them. Meanwhile, this is an interesting story. This is a shocking story. As you know, a billionaire Saudi, Al Waleed, owned 19% of Fox News and the parent company, News Corporation. Billionaire Al Waleed just sold a $190 million stake in News Corp. Now, what was that about? Prince Al Waleed bin Talal, Saudi billionaire and founder of Kingdom Holding Company, Inc., just sold a stake valued at almost $190 million in News Corp., reducing its holding in Rupert Murdoch's media company to about 1%. Why would he do that? That's an interesting question. Why would he sell off News Corporation? Al Waleed, who had the second largest holding of voting stock in News Corp after the Murdoch family, which is, by the way, why they're soft on terror, why they're soft on illegal aliens, even the best of them are under that control, in my opinion, suddenly withdrew the money. He publicly supported the family's running of News Corp, but they suddenly sold off their 19%. Why? I don't know why. News Corp declined to comment. The shares fell 0.5% to $15 at 9:40 a.m. New York time. The sale will not affect the kingdom's 6.6% holding of 21st Century Fox, Inc., which is the movie company. So he wants to hold on to the movie company stock, but he's dumping the news stock. Figure that one out. And what's interesting is News Corp owns HarperCollins Book Publisher, which is a great publisher. They published two of my books. I don't even know if they knew that they owned it when they published me. I have no idea how that slipped through the cracks. Oh, what does it say now? Owner of News Corp company split from Fox in 2013, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. It's an interesting story because it all comes down to money. Do you know that even terrorism is about money? Did you know that? Now, the New York Post had a great cover, Return of the Dark Ages, which showing the Islamic State burning a captured pilot alive. That should have been the defining moment of your life. That story should have been the defining moment of your life. But guess what happened just in time? There was a plane crash in Taiwan, and there was a train crash in New York. Just in time for the slime of the media slime, to wipe the dark ages of ISIS off the front pages and instead go to what they do best, which is talk about crashes. It's shocking, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying the government crashed the plane in Taiwan or, you know, made the train go off the tracks. I didn't say that. It's just interesting to me how these things seem to happen. But Jordan did the right thing. I mean, Obama says that his heart, his thoughts and prayers are with the Jordanians, while Jordan hung two jihadists. That's all. That's the difference. You know, last week I did a tale of two cities, New York and San Francisco, and I try to talk about why the corruption in San Francisco goes unabated. And that's because New York has an aggressive attorney and also has newspapers, which, while they are somewhat liberal, still have journalists. San Francisco has no newspaper and no journalists whatsoever. And so they don't cover these stories. But now I can do a tale of two nations. Jordan hangs two jihadists who harmed one of their pilots. When they beheaded an American, Obama went off to a golf match. That's a tale of two nations. That opens up a line at 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. We're going to go to Unprotected Talk the minute I come back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You think back at the girl, like the women you loved when you were young, like the movie stars? Horrible what happens to people. Well, us too. I mean, it's a time and gravity thing. You can't stop the clock, even if you're an Islamist. No, even if you're an Islamist, you can't stop aging. I wonder if they have any kind of cure for that. I guess cutting off your head is a way to stop aging. Colorado's pot revenue is so high, the state may give residents money back. Colorado's marijuana experiment was designed to raise revenue for the state and its schools, but a state law, blah, blah, blah. They raised so much money from the idiots in Colorado who were doping themselves, and they were stupid enough to begin with. They don't know what to do with the money they raise. So, you know, it leads me to think that Jerry Brown here in California could legalize heroin enemas. And if he were to legalize heroin enemas, just think of the revenue he could raise. He could remove the tax on the rich. Think all the money he would have for trains in the middle of the valley to go nowhere. Is there anything wrong with that idea? They're using them anyway in Hollywood. All night long they party. They sleep with 15 people. They abuse their bodies and their souls. In the morning, they take a coffee enema, and they think that they're cured. Because they, what do they call it? There's a word for it. Detoxing, sorry. That's the biggest thing in Los Angeles and liberal communities is detoxing. At least they're acknowledging they're toxic. That's the one thing to think about. The reason they need to be detoxed, Robert, is they're so filthy mentally and spiritually that they must be detoxed on a daily basis. That's right, but I'm saying I'd go a step further and I would legalize heroin. I would think about legalizing heroin enemas. Let's say start only in Beverly Hills, in that area only. And think of the revenue. I mean, think about which you come up to a government clinic. Now, it would have to be, here's the thing, you have to control heroin enemas. You cannot permit that to be done at home. And so the state could provide the heroin and the enemas, and then they could hire a special cadre of people who perform that service, a government enema specialist for Hollywood. Just try it as an experiment, see what kind of revenue comes in. It's not such a bad idea. I mean, it's maybe comedic in the political arena or ludicrous. Doesn't matter. I'm having a good time. Because I'm not going to sit here and talk about Obama, 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 Obama. He should be impeached. The man should be impeached for the crimes against America and the world. But he's so slick in his own mind, and he knows so much about everything. He's the kind of guy that if a nuclear physicist showed up in his presence and started to speak for one moment about nuclear physics, he'd interrupt him, and in his booming Kenyan voice, tell him he knows more about nuclear physics than he does. Because he heard somebody at the Martha's Vineyard tell him about nuclear physics. This is the problem with a creation. This is the problem with an individual who's never worked a day in his life. So that's why I'm not going to talk about that. I'd rather talk about heroin enemas than talk about Obama's failures. I can't do what the Republican Party was elected to do. I can't do it. That leaves me scarcely 40 seconds to take a call, so therefore I cannot take a call on the Savage Nation at this time. However, when I return, we do have breaking news. It's so awful. It's so awful I can't even give you breaking news anymore. It's one failure in the government after another. Here's the Pentagon General Kirby, who looks like an usher in the Lois Valencia to me, getting up saying ISIS burning a hostage alive is not the act of terrorists, the act of a loser. That's his reaction. You hear this? That's the good-looking guy who looks like an usher in a movie theater. He's a general, don't you know? Never fired a BB gun. A PR man, they put him in a uniform like Robert Cummings.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
This is such a vicious, pedantic academic universe, it's hard for me to turn that off. Turn that sappy garbage off. I'm not even in the mood to talk about ISIS. I don't really care about Obama. We know what he is, a pathological liar who's an anti-American through and through. What do you want? What more do you want me to say? Flooding America with African Muslims. I mean, what, are you kidding me? Yeah, I said it, okay? I said it. Busted the borders with Mexico, bringing in measles, tuberculosis, a killer flu. What do you want me to say? Tell me what you want me to say. Giving illegal immigrants transgender treatment while neglecting our elderly and our soldiers? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Maybe I should go to Dr. Unsavage. That used to be a favorite segment of the regular listeners. You know, I've been in the radio 20 years. Of course, each day you get new ones coming into the tent. They don't even know what you're talking about. They hear a weird voice. They don't know, what is that guy? Then they hate you. Some of them hate you. Like, and they listen, though. They don't know why they hate you. They listen, they listen, they listen. And after about 2-3 weeks, suddenly they realize, holy God, I agree with everything he's saying. I just didn't like his accent. Or something along those lines. But then they realize I'm making sense or I'm expressing their exact thoughts. But along the way, if you've just joined the show, I used to do a certain shtick. See, talk radio is not what you think it is. It's not like we're partisan and we have a certain agenda. I don't anyway. I mean, I have an agenda, but it's my own. I don't belong to a Republican club or whatever, but it's one man's show. It's one man's opinion. It's a one-man show, in other words. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for 20 years, who's ever listened over a period of time gets to know you as a personality. You get what I'm saying? And more or less what you hear is what you get, more or less. You're not going to get the whole person. Only a fool would give you the whole person. But you're getting an awful lot of what you hear is what I am in reality. And sometimes I go into these zany states of mind where I can't even do this anymore. So I go into the Dr. Unsavage phase where I shift my voice to like a university professor type, the liberal kind of guy. And you call me with a question for Dr. Unsavage and I answer it in a falsetto. The way a liberal thinks. I haven't done it because it stresses my vocal cords. And that's why I haven't done it. So I'm not going to do it. I decided just then and there I'm not doing it. Secondly, all the lines are full already with the unprotected talk. I was just trying to bait you. I'm in a very weird mood. I'm sorry. I'm just not into the news right now. How can I be into the news when everything is a lie? I feel like I'm living in, not in 1984, but 2015. By the way, 2015 makes 1984 look like child's play, what this guy has done to reality and to the truth itself. For example, Jordan executes the vermin. Two of the vermin's associates were hung. I only hope they drop a nice big fat bunker-busting bomb on their training camps and then start Gatling gunning their supply lines, okay, and then maybe blowing up their water supplies. That would be called war. Someone said napalm yesterday. So here's General Kirby. How do you become a general under Barack Obama if you never fought in the war? It's simple. Either be a woman or someone who hates the military. Then you're immediately made into a general. So here's so-called General Kirby in clip 7. Listen to this.
At least from an American military perspective, I wouldn't look at this as a it's not a tit for tat. We're at war with ISIL in the same way that we're at war with Al-Qaeda. Nobody's letting off the gas. We're going to continue to put pressure on ISIL regardless of these barbaric acts.
No tit for tat after barbaric murder of Jordanian pilot. What'd you say, Robert? Oh, he's an admiral. That's even better. Well, how do you become an admiral under Barack Obama if you've never driven a ship? You go to PR school and you look like an actor who can look like an admiral. Any other questions? And then you hate America and you hate Christianity, but you're in love with every other possibility. Who's this? Cameron condemns sickening murders of Japanese Jordanian hostages. All right, let's listen to 8. Here's the English response.
I'm sure the whole House will join me in condemning the sickening murders in Syria of Japanese journalist Kenji Goto and the Jordanian pilot Lieutenant Moaz Al-Kasasbe. I'm sure the thoughts and prayers of the whole House will be with their families at this very difficult time. And we should also think of our own pilots and their families and all those who serve.
Yeah.
I can assure the House that we will not stop until the murderous ISIL extremists behind this and their poisonous ideology are eradicated.
Why don't you start in London? You don't have to go over to Syria. Start in London. That's all. You got preachers there calling, saying kill the Queen and Sharia law. What are you talking about Syria? Talk about London. Anyway, you get the picture. That's why it's hard to do the show. This should have been the turning point in the war against ISIS. America should have risen up, but instead, right away, they're back to something else. Right away, the government media complex has you focused on something else. This should have been that which turned the war finally to a public status. They also threw a homosexual off a building top. And when he didn't die, the poor man was in his 60s. The Islamic fanatics then stoned him to death. The crowd surrounded him, the ordinary Muslim. In the town, stoned him to death for being gay. You would think the gay movement would say something about that. Nope, not a word. The same litany, anti-Republican, anti-conservative, nothing about ISIS, nothing. I don't understand how they could not see the danger they're in. Everyone knows this. Here's a Norwegian Islamic leader, and you're not going to believe what he's about to say. I'm not making this up. Here is a leader of Islam in Norway. I want you to listen to it in clip 13.
Every time we have a conference, every time we invite a speaker, they always can come with the same accusations. This speaker supports death penalty for homosexuals. This speaker supports death penalty for this crime or this crime or that. He is homophobic. They subjugate women, etc., etc., etc. It's the same old stuff coming all the time. These are general views that every Muslim actually has. Every Muslim believes in these things.
Really? And yet we're bringing them in by the hundreds of thousands. Huh? Who would have thunk that the gay movement would have permitted to bring people in who believe they should be killed? I don't get it. Why are they focusing so much on Republicans? Okay, that's that. 855-47282. Let's take our first call of the day on the Savage Nation. I call your name. You give a name, your station, your topic. But do it quickly, please. I'm in a brusque mood, more than normal. Secondly, I'm bored. Thirdly, when I get bored and I don't have patience, I could get very nasty, and I don't want to. So try to keep me somewhat off that state of mind. Just when I call your number, fire away. Give me your name, station, and topic. Don't make me wait, okay? Line 4. Go ahead, please.
Frank, ABC, ISIS. Michael, I think the time has come, okay? Why don't the world just come together? We need 7,000 troops from the U.S., from Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from France, from Germany, and now Japan is in the game. And whoever else wants to join, we get 40,000 or 50,000 troops. Go over there. You're not gonna beat ISIS without boots on the ground. Anyone who thinks you are is deceiving themselves. I think the time has come. And I think we need to somehow, we should be taking the role of the United States, but maybe Jordan will do it. Okay? We need.
Yeah, well, there's no America anymore. Obama gutted America. He eviscerated the nation's manhood. So it has to come from somewhere else. Jordan is a weak state. I think you know that. Jordan has over 15,000 Syrian refugees, which they can hardly take care of. They are, yeah, they have a military provided by us, but it's a kind of weak military. Their only ally in the Middle East is Israel, by the way. And Israel knows they have to clean this up. The Yazidis, by the way, are begging Israel to come and save them. Did you know that? No, hang up job. Probably came from Creedmoor. I gave him a coin. He's right, though. I mean, I don't care where he's calling from. At least he got it right. He said, Frank, the station, and the topic. When I made a comment, I heard a zing. A zzz. That means that they took the phone away from him in the bug house. They gave him the phone and a thing. All right, next line. Line one. Go ahead, please. Fire away. Nothing. A blank job. That's an element. Line nine. You're on the Savage Nation Unprotected Talk. Go ahead, please.
Yes, it's Pete, New York, on the Blowtorch, WABC. I think your idea about the heroin enema really holds water, but more importantly...
Oh, so you heard the heroin enema idea.
I think that's the funniest thing I've heard in a week, man.
Well, I mean, the truth is they're giving themselves enemas in Hollywood every morning now, thinking it's detoxing them. But I would say, why use a coffee enema when you can use heroin in the enema?
Oh, good Lord. Come on.
Well, no, I mean, isn't that the Hollywood way?
No wonder I don't live in Hollywood.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, I tell you, Michael, I'm a Christian, and the only thing that makes sense to me is I've resisted the conspiracy theories for years, but it's the only key that opens all the locks, and it's happening on purpose. You're flooding the country with illegals and insane Muslims, and it's all going down the crapper exactly by design. It's the only thing that explains all the lunacy.
All right, so if you want to take it to its extreme, your conspiracy theory would hold that, like the television show Homeland, where a returning veteran who had been captured by Islamics and brainwashed for 2 years comes back a war hero, but he's really a Muslim convert, and he becomes a U.S. congressman because people think he's a hero, but he's actually a practicing Muslim who's working for the enemy. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm thinking maybe that's it, and Obama's just like that. He's a complete front man, and it's all happening by design.
Well, I would take it in a different direction. I would say he's probably not, but he may as well be, because the same results would be happening.
Yeah.
See, that's what I... See, people say, oh, it's not true. How could you come up with a thing like that? It doesn't matter whether it's true or not true. By default, by not doing enough, by downplaying Islamic terrorism, by always apologizing for them, he may as well be. So what's the difference? What's the difference?
Yeah. It's, what do they say?
So in other words, don't accuse me of joining you in that conspiracy theory. I'm just telling you that it doesn't matter whether he is or he isn't. The results are the same.
Yeah. Badly.
That's all. So what? And the question is, isn't that what the election was about, repudiating Obama and his policies? Of course. So where are the Republicans? Where are they today? Where's the drunk and the gullah today? What are they doing? They're working on the Keystone XL pipeline? That's their whole story? All right, next case. See, Unprotected Talk is good. I have a few people I speak with. I said, do you like Unprotected Talk? They say yes. I ask why. They say because in the past I would listen, but I would zone out after a while if it was a single topic. They said, now I'm captivated. I don't know what the next person's going to say. I don't know whether you're going to hang up on them. I don't know how you're going to respond to them, since you're the only one in talk radio who takes unscripted callers and you're able to counterpunch rapidly. I said, that's why they love the show. It's that simple. It really is. It's as simple as that. And I do appreciate that you understand my new invention here. And I would appreciate it if you understood this, that, well, and I'll do this later. Thanks. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Oh, God, here's a story. I don't know if it's verifiable. I'll read it to you cold. It could be a conspiracy theory. Are you ready for this one? It's crazier by the day. Chris Kyle's killer may not have had PTSD, but was terrorist sympathizer. Comes from a website called youngcons.com. Now, Chris Kyle is American Sniper. As you well know, he was shot to death when he came home, and he was at a gun range. And they say he was shot by a friend. And this guy, young conservatives say, new information is surfacing about the man who killed former SEAL Chris Kyle. As the story goes, Chris Kyle took Marine Eddie Ray Ruth, who was allegedly suffering from PTSD, to a Texas gun range where he turned the gun on Kyle. But according to documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, Ruth was never in combat, so it's unlikely he was suffering from PTSD. On their Facebook page, the Warfighter Foundation wrote this. He said he never saw combat or any aspect of traumatic events associated with a combat deployment. He never left the base, ever. And then they write this. Okay, time to put an end to this whole discussion that Eddie Ruth suffered from PTSD. For those of you who do not know, Ruth is the murderer of U.S. Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. He never saw combat. Now people are taking a closer look at Ruth, and it's speculated he might have been an Islamic sympathizer. Why? Well, from Truth Revolt, what is known is that Ruth, while never serving in combat, did work at the Balad Air Base prison guarding Muslim terrorists. Walid Shubat, a former radicalized Muslim terrorist and member of the PLO, who has since converted to Christianity, believes that because of his past and credentials, he is confident in his deduction that Eddie Ruth was in fact becoming a radical Muslim, although there is no proof yet of the conversion. Shubat brings as one proof a phone call from Ruth had with his father where he expressed sympathy for the detainees he was guarding, and so forth and so on. Well, that's horrible. Terrorist sympathizer? Well, the thing here is that if he was a terrorist sympathizer, the man who shot Chris Kyle, you can be sure the Justice Department will give him a presidential pardon recommendation. That's the one thing you should know. And he's a sleeper. Oh, he's a lone wolf? Lone wolf now. Lone wolf theory. Lone wolf theory. Lone wolf. Lone wolf. Don't call on that. There's no way to confirm. There's no way to deny. You know what I'm saying? God, what a horrible world. I have to look at this every day. I feel like an oncologist who knows the patient's dead, that the cancer is so bad that it's incurable, that the doctor that was hired to stop the cancer turned out to actually being spreading the cancer. The doctor that was elected 6 years ago to stop the cancer actually was a doctor, like a Dr. Mengele, who instead of stopping the cancer spread, infected new cancer cells into the body. That's how I feel sometimes. I mean, I know it's crazy. I mean, I realize if I lived in the Soviet Union of the 1950s, I'd be put in a state-run mental institution and be forcibly injected with drugs and such. Maybe we should just play music. How's that? 53. So where does the time go? How about Clarence Frogman Henry ain't got no home? Because I had a weird dream last night from all of this bad news. I was stuck in the rain with a suitcase in my hand. Why? Because I feel like I'm out in the rain. And I'm waiting for a taxi to take me home. Take me home, baby. That thing about getting... All I know is I wanted to go home in the dream. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go home. I want my America back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number two of the Savage Nation, just rolling along in a pleasant world. Guys say I'm doing a good job. I don't even know anymore. Yesterday was a great show, one of my highs. Right? 2 days in a row, home runs. Now I'm Babe Ruth walking around the bases today. I don't want to run anymore. I'm tired of running. You know what? I just cooked in the kitchen. You see, you don't know. I have studios in various places, and during breaks, I actually cook lunch. I've given up on restaurants. So I can't take Chinese takeout anymore. It's disgusting. Disgusting. It's like old pieces of dreck with old... It's horrible. Just getting worse. It's a Japanese place not far from me. I've eaten for years. The owner was such a nasty piece of work. I called him yesterday to order a takeout lunch. I swear to God, you got to hear this. It's the same crap. I get the same thing. So all I did was say to him on the phone, listen to this. I said, what are your lunch specials? This guy in Mill Valley right off the highway, a real arrogant guy. I don't like going there. So he says to me, I know it was him. I could tell by his voice. He's like heavy set, nasty piece of work. We have no lunch specials. I said, okay, what do you mean no lunch specials? I said, I get them every so often. No, we have lunch, but no lunch specials. And none of them are available for takeout. I said, but I get them every other day. He said, well, they're not lunch specials. They're just lunch. I said, you know, I called you to order lunch. I didn't call to argue with you. He says, I'm not arguing with you. So he argued with me about that he wasn't arguing with me. So I said, thanks for the info, and I hung up. I mean, it's crazy, the world. You know what happens is these restaurants get so arrogant with their success and with the liberals bowing down to them. Oh, you should see it. You should see the liberals in Marin County, California, an Asian restaurant, any ethnic restaurant. They first of all, any Asian restaurant, they clasp their hands together and bow to the waitress. Have you seen this in Texas? I don't think they do it down there. The spineless liberals who are allowing Islamism to rise around the world, when they go into an Asian restaurant, if they order something, they literally put their hands together and bow. First of all, it's not even in the culture. It's not in the Japanese culture. But they clasp the hands together, and then they go, and then if, may I have a napkin? Because, you know, they're cheap on the napkin job. May I have a water? Everything they get, may I have a chopstick? Oh, thank you. Then they pay, and they're the customer, and they say thank you over and over again to the waitress. Like the waitress did them a favor for letting them in the ethnic restaurant. It's crazy. It's a world that's upside down. So I've taken to cooking myself during breaks. In every studio I have a kitchen. So, I mean, what I just whipped up was so good. It was unbelievable. So much better than Chinese, Japanese, Indian. The Indian I won't go near either off the highway. I almost got torn apart by a pair of dogs 3 weeks ago. That's the end of that one. I mean, food was marginal to begin with. But I'm not going to go there and risk my life from drug dealers with pit bulls. That was outside that restaurant. I don't even want to leave the restaurant without an entourage of bodyguards. I wonder if Michael Moore's bodyguards are available to take me to lunch once in a while. Paris Hilton's brother faces federal rap. This is a minor story, but it's indicative of the mentality in San Francisco. FBI arrests Paris Hilton's brother, age 20, for crazed airplane rampage, according to The Smoking Gun. His name is Conrad Hilton, facing felony rap for allegedly threatening flight attendants, a pilot, and passengers during the 11-hour trip. Look what happens with an inheritance case. Look what happens with an inheritance case. It never worked a day in his life. Another pretty boy. Another pretty boy. $1,200 shirt. Nothing between the ears. He has the brains of his sister. At least she can make a dollar because she has a woman's body. There's no excuse for this one. In the affidavit, the heir had to be handcuffed and restrained for the flight's final 75 minutes. According to the affidavit, FBI has interviewed four flight attendants, a pilot and passenger, about Hilton's repeated outbursts on the double-decker A380 aircraft. Hilton is portrayed as an odious rich kid. I like the word odious. Odious is a good one. That means odor, you know, like an odor comes off from an odor of horror. Who referred to other passengers as peasants and said that if his actions resulted in damages, he screamed at them, my father will pay this out. He has done it before. Dad paid $300,000 last time. Hilton's father, Richard, is a real estate exec who is a grandson of Conrad Hilton, the late hotel magnate. Wow, the grandfather would be turning over his grave to a producer. See, this is why I don't want to leave any money to anybody. They don't need it anyway. They got more money than I do. So what's the point of leaving anything to anybody? Remarkably, despite having been physically restrained for the flight's conclusion, Hilton appeared clueless to the trouble he was facing when interviewed by FBI agent David Gates when the plane arrived in Los Angeles. And he said, I tangle with flight attendants. He bragged to the FBI agent. I told all of them I could get all of their jobs taken away in less than 30 seconds. And he said, at one male flight attendant, he yelled at, he said, I went off on him to a point where he had to leave the room. He was so embarrassed. I shouted in front of all his colleagues. It was brutal, but he deserved it, said Hilton. When the FBI agent told Hilton he was investigating a crime involving the possible assault or intimidation of crew members, Hilton interrupted the agent. I did intimidate, he said, but through the fence. Can you believe this? He was screaming at the agent, I'm going to effing kill you. I will effing rip through you. As he pointed his finger at the flight attendant, I will blank anyone on this flight. They're blank peasants. They had to constrain him with tape. I'm afraid to even ask for an extra soda on an airplane. I won't even ask for water before the plane takes off. But this odious child who grew up in the Hilton family, never having worked a day in his life apparently, my guess is though he did threaten them, When the pilot presented Hilton with the final written warning, which was also read aloud to him, Hilton ripped up the document. My guess is that Nancy Pelosi will intervene, and this will be brushed aside. See? That's the whole story. Oh, yeah. Or Feinstein. They're all close. It's a little sorority up there in San Francisco. The U.S. attorney will do nothing. They'll intervene. They'll sweep it under the rug. Now, I'm sorry to tell you, but if a minority kid robs a banana, he goes to jail for 2.5 years. How does that work? Is it any wonder that some of the minority kids are outraged by this society? That a kid like this can threaten flight attendants and a pilot, and you know it's going to be swept under the rug because he has juice. Because he's got protexia, as they would say in Israel. He's got protexia. Look where he lives. Pacific Heights. Look where his neighbors are. Look who lives down the street. He's not going to be punished. Imagine if a Muslim did this on an airplane, what the news would be. No, I'll take their side now. Let's say a guy's just a Muslim who's religious, but he's not a terrorist. He has a beard. No, let's role play. He has a beard. He wears a head covering. And he says, I'm going to effing kill you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Tell me what would happen to the Muslim. It'd be all over the newspapers, right? Muslim goes berserk on airplane, threatens crew, has to be restrained. You know, was it a test case? You know, that's what would happen. But with Paris Hilton's brother, no, nothing. Oh, he faces a federal rap, but I can guarantee the calls were made already by some shyster lawyer in San Francisco connected deeply to the Pelosi and Feinstein machine. Oh, yeah. Or maybe even Willie Brown. Who knows? It's a joke for them. Just all in a day's work. The mother will say he was probably a very nice boy on his way to medical school. You know, he was on his way to medical school in London or something. Selfish, selfish. Well, I'm a peasant. I mean, I'm proud to. I eat peasant food. No matter how much money I may ever make or whatever, I'll always be a peasant. I come from peasant stock. It's why I'm strong. I would never do a thing like that. No, what's wrong with being a peasant? What's that, a put down now in America? Anyone who works is a peasant, Robert. You're a peasant to him because you work for a living. See, if you took coffee enemas and didn't work and slept till 3 o'clock in San Francisco and then put on a nice $300 shirt, $400 jeans, $1,200 shoes and walked down the hill on the Visadero from Pacific Heights to have a double macchiato espresso latte with water from at least 5,000 feet with coffee beans from a certain region of Ethiopia where they're handpicked by nubile slaves, then you wouldn't be a peasant, Robert. But if you just drink coffee out of a cup, you're a peasant. I think he should be given a lifetime of coffee enemas, frankly, by the federal government. Not you, Robert. I mean, I'm doing this. I can't face the dark age thing. I can't. I just can't take it. So what I want to do is take some calls. There's no room to get on the show because it's so popular, which is good. But I want to hear a little music, Robert. I don't know. How about this stupid one, Run Around Sue by Dion? I always liked that one. Frankly, when I was in high school, I was always trying to meet Run Around Sue. That's a funny song. Let me tell you a story about the Nymphomaniac in Alley Pond Park. I'm in the mood to drift off now. Have you heard that? It's a very touching story. It's not a sexual story, so don't feel I'm going to get lewd or vulgar. I never do. I'm not a television government comic. It's an interesting story about a nympho in Alley Pond Park. I told it. I wrote it in some of my earlier books, my family stories. There's no reason to tell the story now, but I will. Because it's to show you a little. Okay, there was a girl in the neighborhood when we were teenagers who was a nymphomaniac. Now, I know that's not an acceptable term today. They say it doesn't exist, and I've read whole books on it, that the men have the same thing, and they call it priapism. I get the whole thing, but there is a nymphomaniac. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, that's what you are. That's what you are. You have that impulse. So she was like that. She liked, you know, whatever. And the guys I hung around with were lewd vulgarians who all wound up working in the garment center. And those are the people I knew. None of them made of anything of themselves in this particular side of the crowd. So we drive around in a whole car together, and one of them knew her, and they picked her up, you know, at her house. Hey, how you doing, Mr. and Mrs. whatever? And she got in the car, and then they went to Alley Pond Park, and they all, you know, did their thing. It got me sick. And my turn came, and I got out of the car. I mean, I almost puked. I didn't want to be with her. You know, I felt bad for her, honest to God. So then they drove her home. Thank God they drove her home. And they went past her house. They dropped her off laughing at her. It was horrible, disgusting. And her father was waiting at the door with an overcoat for her to cover her shame. As I saw that in the rear window as the car pulled away with a screech, I thought that was a touching moment. I thought there was such dignity in the father that he understood that his daughter was that way and he lived with it. And he didn't make a ridicule thing. He didn't ridicule her. He didn't put her down. He didn't scream at her. He didn't threaten her. It was just like, here's his beautiful daughter. That's what she does. I love her anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful story in its own way. I'm not trying to say that I'm an angel or I got a halo around me. It's just an interesting slice of life. That's all. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Anyway, here's the story, and I'm doing another family story because I'm tired of politics for the moment. I can't take it. So this is a shorty. I just did the Nympho and Alley Pond Park. That was a different kind of nuance. And I don't know where she is today. Maybe she's a listener somewhere. I don't even know. If you are, I mean, I'm not. Who knows what she is today? She could be a yoga instructor in London. I have no idea. Or working for HHS, child rearing. I mean, if it's a male version of nymphomania, it's called satyriasis, which you can become a president with today if you're Bill Clinton. So this one's called Love by the Sewer Plant. Remember the song I Only Have Eyes for You, sung by the Flamingos? We're talking a sewer plant. We're talking about Catskill Mountains. We're talking about 1956. And it's called First Love by the Sewer Plant. Now, this girl was so beautiful that people stopped as she went by to marvel at her. We were at a small hotel owned by a former fighter, a pugilist, a real tough guy. If he got into an argument with anyone who worked for him and they got smart, he beat them up and threw them off the property. Everyone was terrified of him, an old-school New York Jewish kind of street fighter type. So he owned this little hotel, and he ran it with an iron fist. And because he was tough, things ran very well. Nothing ever went wrong in the hotel. No one robbed a fork. No one talked back. So anyway, I'm a kid 15 years old, or 16, and it's boom, Love by the Sewer Plant. We crossed the road to walk down to the Neversink River to make out. The water was so cold that when you waded across it, your feet turned blue. My uncle had a new Plymouth Fury, so I remember at the time. And this girl was so stunningly gorgeous, just really beautiful, and the theater companies would come through. You see, in those days, they had entertainers in these little hotels, in small theaters that they called casinos for a night of entertainment. Sometimes they'd have a comedian who was terrible, or a juggler, or a balloon man doing cheap acts. In other words, schlocky entertainment. Nevertheless, they thought they were artists. You've got to understand that. Even though they were schlocky entertainers, let's say they could paint velvet paintings, they were still painters. But in their minds, they were artists. They were theatrical, and everyone else was not theatrical and therefore boring. In other words, they were the artists. They understood beauty. So one day, a group of these entertainers came around and just stared at this girl. They came running up to her as if I wasn't there. I was holding her hand and I was walking with her. We were just kids. And one of them said, "Man, I want you to see this girl. This is the girl I was telling you about." They looked at her like she was a specimen of biblical beauty. So where are you going to go when you're a kid and you got nowhere to go? So we took a walk down the hill. It was a long slope down to the river where there was a sewer treatment plant, which occasionally, as you well know, doesn't smell that good, but kids don't care. They can override anything, particularly when the lust hits them. So we two kids walk down the hill, cross the river, roll up the dungarees, take off our shoes, our legs turn blue, and we have a little moment of passion together. And that was my first. That was it. There were enough stars in the sky that night, in the black sky, the billions of stars, to equal the passion that I had for that world. And for the world at large, I thought I could literally reach out and grab a star and fly away. That's how phenomenal I felt that evening. But then, of course, as you well know, nothing like that lasts. So what I'm getting at with the story is that it was by a sewer plant and there's nothing more to it. Now imagine some John Coltrane tune. Because the way he did his jazz, I do my storytelling. It just ends. It just ends in the middle of a note. I don't want to tell any more about it because it'll become a pantomime, and I don't want to embarrass myself with a pantomime of something that was quite beautiful. This story ends abruptly, the way good jazz ends abruptly. And that is Love by the Sewer Plant. Maybe I'll read Fat Al's Tuna next. Maybe just do childhood stories now. Fat Al's Tuna, One-Armed Frank with the Hal. How about Dead Man's Pants? That, people love that. That should be the title of my movie. The Michael Savage Story, Dead Man's Pants. How about my first dog? Tippy dies and is thrown in a garbage truck. Imagine that. That's how they got rid of dogs in those days. Threw them in a truck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
It's the Savage Nation. I'm reading some of the headlines on the Drudge Report. They're hilarious. Pentagon study claims Putin has Asperger's. You hear this? They've gone, that's how far they've gone under the Obama machine? That's what they're saying now? Yeah, they ought to look in a mirror at the Pentagon. They say Putin has Asperger's. Imagine what they have. It's a family show. I can't say it, but it ends in burgers. All right, what do you want me to do? You want me to do family stories? You want me to do One-Armed Frank? You want me to do Dead Man's Pants? You want me to take calls? I'm going to do all of it. Let's take a call. Line 2. Go ahead, please. Name, station, topic, line 2.
Lino from Reno, KOH Radio in Reno.
Yes, sir.
My comment is regarding the commonality between the ideology of Islam and Marxism and its hatred for the West and its early development of Marxist, or, you know, the Marxists early on got with the Kurds and began to infiltrate them back in World War II or before. And after the Soviets lost in Afghanistan, they stepped up the program with the Muslims in a common effort to destroy the West, and it's remained so. So we're looking at Muslims who are communists, you know. In other words, and I've coined a term, and I use it, and I call them Islacoms.
What do you call a Muslim communist?
Islacom.
I'm sure that goes over well in Reno, but I mean, I'm not laughing at it. We understand the combination of those who believe in authoritarianism.
Well, I call the individual Muslim.
You have to understand, Islam is an authoritarian religion. You understand that?
Yes, it's a redemptive doctrine, just like...
Right, it's a top-down religion. It has no dissent permitted. Let's not argue about anything other than that. It is totally different than contemporary westernized Christianity, which is not an authoritarian religion, incidentally. It was before it went through its reformation.
Yes.
Well, and it's only a reformation from the Muslim women of the world that can save the world from these maniac men.
Well,
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not going to solve the problem. I'm only a radio host. I don't work for the government. I have no power, nothing. Do you know that next week is Valentine's Day? I can't believe this. And listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You may not think, oh, she doesn't want flowers. That's what she says to you. Really, right. That's why she told you she doesn't want flowers. Why don't you impress her? Because you know that she's going to post all over her social media that you came through on Valentine's Day. And frankly, nobody knows flowers better than Michael Savage. I have a degree in botany. The others do not. They don't know flowers from vinegar. I do. This is the best, Pro Flowers. And I've chosen them for my show because I've never seen anything like it. Price, convenience. They last such a long time. It's only $19.99, 100 blooms of love. $19.99? Or if you're really sporting, for another $9.99, you can get chocolates and a stuffed bear. Would you please go to proflowers.com and use my code SAVAGE? You can get this stuff from a lot of people in the business, but if you're listening to my show, it's because you like me. So let me just be very clear. Go to proflowers.com, buy flowers, and hit in my code SAVAGE. I'm not telling you to do it other than for one reason. They're guaranteed to last 7 days, and we're going to give you your money back. It's a no-brainer. And the longer you wait, the harder it is going to be for you to find flowers at this price. Everyone I have sent Pro Flowers to freaks out. The flowers last like, I don't know, they go on and on for weeks. So go to proflowers.com. You click on the blue mic on the top right, and you type in SAVAGE. It's that simple. If you can order flowers, you order them through me. How's that? That's proflowers.com. Click on the mic and type in SAVAGE. But listen to me carefully. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Line number 8. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Mike Morant, WABC in New York. And I just want to remind everybody about 2 years ago or so when a minister down in Florida wanted to burn a Quran the White House and the media made absolutely certain that everybody knew he was a Christian, and also that it was obviously an affront to humanity for him to do that. But now we have Boko Haram killing or kidnapping 2,000 black Christian girls, enslaving them and raping them, and we're not supposed to in any way connect that with what they say is the reason they're allowed to do that.
So what are you saying? The government is a sleeper for radical Islam?
What I'm saying is they're just total hypocrites.
Are they hypocrites? Is it a double standard, or are they actually in complicit agreement with them? Which one is it? The answer is it doesn't matter, because the end result is the same. If they're not against them, they're for them. It's that simple. See, this is how I see it. Either you're against those throwback barbarians, or you're for them, because if you're not fighting them, they're going to take over more and more territory. It's that simple.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the country that when we had real men running the country, they put a man on the moon. Take a look at what we have now. Take a look at what we have now. Take a look at the difference now.
Are they naive? Are they useful tools? It doesn't matter.
That's Michael's opinion. Why split hairs? Say, oh, it's a double standard, or they're naive, or they just don't want to steam them up. No, it doesn't matter what they are. At the end of the day, if they're not going to annihilate them, they're going to continue to grab territory and continue to be a greater threat to the region and the world. That's simple. Now, what if one of them gets a hold of some dirty nuke? And they give it to one of their fellow travelers who cuts off his beard and comes into America. Well, he's here already. I mean, I watch enough television. I write fiction. Why? They couldn't be sitting here with a ticking time bomb ready to put it somewhere in a locker? You haven't seen enough fiction along those lines? No, you haven't seen it, and it couldn't happen here because, oh, come on, the FBI is on that. Yeah, oh, the CIA is on that. Ask Dianne Feinstein. She crippled them. They're really on that one. Who's on it? Oh, well, she's on the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She'd know. Yeah, she'd know. Oh, yeah, sure, she'd know. That's the story that we have today. Everywhere you turn, boll weevils. Boll weevils ate out the heart of America's heartwood. That's why do you think I'm doing family stories? I mean, I'd rather talk about Louie and the monkey than Dianne Feinstein. I did an info in Alley Pond Park. I did Love by the Sewer Plant. I wonder where she is today. Fat Al's Tuna. I don't want to know people from when I was 16. Would you ever want to see people you knew when you were 16, Robert? Well, you're younger than me. You probably still know people who are 16. It's terrible what age does to people. It's a horrible thing. It's why I took all the mirrors out of my house. No, time and gravity eats away at all of us. No matter what you do, you know, it's like fighting. It's like the Portrait of Dorian Gray. Dead Man's Pants. That's a great story. I'm not in the mood to talk about when I wore Dead Man's Pants. It was disgusting. It's not a badge of honor that I wore hand-me-downs. My father was in the used business, okay? He called it antiques. Once in a while, he had an antique. And he ran a small store with mostly 19th-century French antiquities. But on the side, he had to sell used goods as well. A man's got to do what a man's got to do to make ends meet, right? So occasionally, my poor dad would go to an auction after a guy died, and he'd buy the entire estate. The clocks, the dishes, the mirror, whatever the man had, the pants, the shirts, the whole deal. Well, back at the store, as he sorted through the stuff for resale, he'd take a closer look at the suits. And once he got a Hart Schaffner Mark suit from a dead man. Now, what's he going to do? Toss it in the garbage can like they do today? In those days, it wasn't in him to throw out a good worsted fabric. Instead, he brought home the pants for me to look at. I remember my father called me to the bedroom and showed me the pants, like the head tailor at Nordstrom's department store. He'd say, now, Michael, get a good look at the fabric. I wanted to vomit. I immediately got a migraine because I knew what was coming. Take a look at the quality of this fabric. And he's rubbing his fingers up and down the pant leg, and he's saying, and he's working me like a salesman. He's unrolling the pants on the bed. I can see it to this day. He unrolls it like he's selling me a bolt of hand-woven cloth. And he would say, you can't get fabric like this anymore. And I wanted to say, of course not, Dad. They only sell stuff like that for men who died. You know, even if I had said something, it wouldn't have changed anything. Because he'd take the pants downtown with him, and the pants would come back fit for me. You know, shortened, without the legs taken in properly in the crotch or on the thigh. And they ended up baggy, like an Abbott and Costello pants. And even if they had fit me properly, there was something repugnant about wearing a dead man's pants. But, like I said, I learned how to make do with whatever was at hand. And there's an old saying that the man with no shoes complains until he meets the man with no feet. The fact that I didn't have much more than a place to sleep in my first little apartment after college was okay with me. At least I wasn't wearing dead man's pants. Now, little did I know that one day, those awful dead man's pants would serve as a metaphor for the shift in my political orientation. You might find it interesting that I wasn't always an independent conservative. I was raised in a Democrat, blue-collar home. My dad was a Democrat. My mom was a Democrat. Most of my relatives still vote Democrat. You see, to an immigrant family whose parents came of age during the Great Depression, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the great white savior. Aside from being the only U.S. president reelected to office three times, he gained lasting political mileage with the relief that his New Deal offered. As you might expect, then, my father used to tell me, Michael, all I know is this. The Democrats are for the little guy, and the Republicans are for big business. In a way, his attempt to sell me on the political leanings of the Democratic Party was no different than his sales job with the dead man's pants. He was selling me a failed ideology that should have been buried long ago. So as a young man, not seeing things as clearly as I do now, I voted as my dad did, since I didn't understand politics. But as I grew older, that view would change completely. The turning point in my thinking can be traced back to my first job out of college as a social worker in the Upper West Side of New York. All of my so-called clients were minorities. Now, I was a good young liberal kid at the time, having had my brain washed at one of the City University of New York by a whole slew of European immigrants who, instead of kissing the ground when they got here, immediately sought to instill communist philosophy in the minds of the young. I didn't know that at the time. I was just a wide-eyed liberal kid with an eye on changing the world. So there I was, fresh out of Queens College, a hotbed of communism, having minored in sociology. I figured I'd take a job as a social worker to, quote, save the oppressed minority. I always was an idealist. In fact, I still am. But the abuses of the welfare system that I saw back then nauseated me and started me on my slow road to recovery. Day after day, I found person after person who was working, who had a job, but who claimed they didn't have a job so they can continue to get their government handout. Worse, they knew they were ripping off the welfare system and didn't bat an eye. Now, how could I be so sure that these hucksters weren't swindling Uncle Sam? I mean, you could argue that they were oppressed and didn't know the rules. Well, not me. At a young age, I learned a valuable lesson on how to spot people who smile to your face while robbing you blind the second your back was turned. And maybe when I come back, I'll tell you the story about Sam the Butcher. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation, a Sharia-free zone, where Islamist barbarians are called Islamist barbarians. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. Let's all cheer for the King of Jordan. At least they have a king who protects them. We have a man who acts like a king who doesn't protect us. Think about that one. He wants all the attributes of a king without the protection afforded the people. I mean, at least if you have a kingship, the man protects you. They all wanted him to hang those rats, and he hung them. And I hope that they unleash hellfire on ISIS. I hope that the Jordanian Air Force, secretly with the help of Israel, unleashes a hellstorm on ISIS, their women and their children. It's the only thing they're going to respond to. You know, we don't have the right generals to do this. They've been purged out of the military. We have the fighting men. So far, they haven't been driven out. We have men willing and able to do the job, but we don't have the leadership. They've been gutted. That's why I'm doing family stories for you today. You understand? So I'm playing rock and roll. I'm loved by the sewer plant and Info and Alley Pond Park. I'm trying to get away from it. I mean, how much can you take of a monstrosity like these Hitlers in headscarves who are marching on a blitzkrieg with almost no opposition? Oh, sure, there's an occasional missile and an occasional airstrike from our brave airmen, but not sufficient to kill them. Look, common sense would tell you if you cut off their supply lines, you could starve them out. Cut off their water supply, you could make them die. Why don't we do that? Why don't we blow up the supply lines? Where do you think they're getting their food from? They're growing it in the desert? Where's it coming from? You're not using common sense. If the government really wanted them stopped, they would have been stopped. And that's why they're on the march, because they have American weapons. And have you seen one picture of an Abrams tank that they stole being blown up? I've not seen one yet. Have you seen one picture of an F-16 strike on a U.S. Abrams tank stolen by ISIS. No. Which leads me to believe, leads me to believe, what did the doctor can't tell you? Because if the doctor tells you what he thinks, oh, forget about it. You don't want to hear it, infidels. No, you want to hear about football and deflated footballs and which slut fell down in Hollywood and who's anti-gun and what. I mean, the whole world is crazy, madhouse. Madhouse. The Hollywood idiots did it to us. Okay, so MSNBC is falling apart. It shows you no one listens to the drivel of the Red Guard. No one's buying their act anymore. When they get rid of Pill Griffin, maybe they could save the network. Send him to a junior high school in Arkansas to run the media department. Look what he did to one. I mean, I worked there once for 3 months. I lasted 3 months. I had a short-lived television career. It wasn't bad. I liked it. I had like 800,000, 850,000 viewers on my Saturday show. They gave me the worst show in history. 5 o'clock on a Saturday, Sunday. No one listened. I had 850,000 people, viewers average. It's more than most of them have today. Would you believe it? No, I did. I mean, I drew a crowd. I didn't like it. It's too hard for me. I don't like television. I don't admire anyone who does it. I just don't like it. It's not for me. It makes you too self-conscious. Like, how's my tie? How's my nose? And if I itch, I can't rub my nose. Could I cook during a television show while I'm on the air? No. No, during a break. Could I go to a TV kitchen? No, I'm where I belong, which is radio. It's the greatest medium in the history of the world. Nobody can beat radio. Because of the reason that if you're good at it, your brain is sharp, you care about the subject matter, you have a great voice, you're a genius with higher degrees, you've written many books, it's the perfect medium for you. If, on the other hand, you waste the valuable time of the listeners, don't do it to them. Because you'll be judged in the next world for what you did to the listeners on the radio in this world. In the next hour, I swear to you, it's going to be all calls. I promise. Calls, calls, calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Some breaking news for hour number three of the Savage Nation. Headline, until fuel and bullets run out, Jordan's brave king vows vengeance after captured pilot burned alive by the Islamic State. Jordan's king Abdullah, a former general himself, angrily vows to pursue ISIS until his military runs out of fuel and bullets. This is coming to us from a closed-door meeting with U.S. lawmakers. Following the release of that video showing captured Jordanian pilot Lieutenant Muath al-Kasabiya being burned alive in a cage. Now, contrast King Abdullah of Jordan with King Hussein of America, who doesn't even want to name the enemy. A man who wants to act imperious, who wants all of the adulation of imperial leader, and yet will not afford the subjects of his imperial under his imperial command, the benefit of the doubt with regard to his loyalties. How's that? Does that work for you? That's the world we're living in. It's a tale of two nations, Jordan and America. They're going to have hell to pay for this, and it will be a Muslim nation that gives it to them. Because only a Muslim nation knows who they are, and only a Muslim nation knows how to treat them, and only a Muslim nation knows what will instill fear in them. It's that simple. Now I'm going to go to callers. I haven't given the callers much time on the show today. The phone number is 855-407-282, 855-400-SAVAGE. When I call your number, please give us quickly your name, station, and topic as quickly as you can. Okay? Line 6, go ahead, please. A misfire. Okay. Line 2, you're next up on the Savage Nation.
Jason from from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, listening on WJR. Dr. Savage, we last spoke about 10 years ago, and we were speaking about the USS Cole disaster, and you said something that has stuck with me ever since, that the only thing the Bedouin understands is swift and blinding violence. And I think that the Jordanians may be able to provide this. Michael, we are in deep, deep trouble.
I haven't changed my opinion since then. Unfortunately, instead of General Patton in the White House, we have Neville Chamberlain's grandson.
I understand this, Michael, and I, like you, I would like to hear the B-52s flying across Canada over to Saudi Arabia, wherever it may be, whatever has to be done, Michael, whatever it takes.
We're all praying for the day we wake up to the buzzing of the bees, the B-1s, the B-2s. The B-52s. We all want to wake up to the roar at 3 o'clock in the morning from every corner of America, of the free lands that still remain on this earth. And we want to hear those bees buzzing, and we want to hear them buzzing to the Middle East. I agree with you, but we just don't have the leadership with the guts to do what needs to be done to defend the Western nations. It's that simple.
Michael, it's unfortunate, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets...
Yes, if this burning of a man alive, you know what my headline was, is? I think my headline for that horrendous story, which was the seminal story of our lifetime, which came and went in the news like it didn't even happen. Look what I wrote on michaelsavage.com. I hope it's still up there. Oh, God, it's gone already? I don't know where it is. Hey, here it is. Islamic set pilot on fire, progressive world yawns. Does that say it all? Gone.
Michael,
Islamic set pilot on fire, progressive world yawns. Is that correct? Isn't that what happened?
Oh, exactly. Michael.
So the progressives that were concerned about gay rights and gay marriage and Gaia and global warmings don't give a rat's behind about a man set on fire while he's alive. Didn't even affect them at all. Nothing. Like nothing happened. ISIS throws gay man off a tower, stones him to death after he survives fall. Not a word from the gay movement. Nothing. Zero.
They're focusing on plane crashes. They're focusing on other things today.
I understand how the government media complex works. This is why I love them so much. Okay, I see. I didn't want to get upset. I didn't, but I did already. The heads. I had my coffee just before this hour. I save it for the last hour, which is why I'm now able to do 5 hours of radio, even though I do three. And I don't know what to do with the energy when the show is over. I don't know what to do. I have to find an afternoon job or an evening job. I may have to open a restaurant. I may have to open a cafe where I can continue to talk. I'll hire Robert and Jim to be in the cafe with a fake board and a fake board. We'll call it Radio Cafe. But it'd be about the same as what I do here. I wouldn't change anything in a cafe. Meanwhile, according to the Defense Intelligence Agency, ISIS is spreading beyond Iraq and Syria. It's unbelievable to me, and our leader does nothing. Our dear leader does nothing. All he does is promise the losers of the world a free pass to come to America and give them away your holdings. IRS offers extra tax refunds to illegal aliens granted amnesty by Obama. Did you see this shocking story? He's going to grant amnesty to 30 million or more illegal aliens, and they're going to get extra tax refunds. They're going to actually get money for becoming a citizen. I cannot believe what I'm looking at. These are the enemies of the people who work in the country. And it ends badly. The story ends badly. But you wouldn't know that. The government media complex will hide that from you. Here's another one for the boys at the New York Times. ISIS selling and crucifying and burying children alive. According to who? The United Nations. As you well know, the UN has been taken over by right-wingers. But the UN said that ISIS is crucifying, selling, and burying children alive. You'd think that Hillary Clinton would say something, since she ran her entire life around the children, right? She's always for the children. Islamic State militants are selling abducted Iraqi children at markets as sex slaves and killing other youth, including by crucifixion or burying them alive, a United Nations watchdog said on Wednesday. Iraqi boys aged 18 or under 18, are increasingly used by the militant group as suicide bombers, bomb makers, informants, or human shields. Now they're going into mental hospitals, mentally challenged children, and they're using them as suicide bombers, most probably without them even understanding it. Not a word from all the hand-wringing liberals in America or Britain. Not one word. There was a video placed online that showed children at a very young age, probably 8 years of age and younger, to be trained already to become child soldiers. Not one word from the nanny state. Not one word from the nanny state that tells you to worry about how much soda you drink. Yeah, that's what they're worried about here in America. The UN, all of a sudden, they're worried about this. Not one word from the nanny state that tells you not to have a soda or a trans fat. The UN body, which reviewed Iraq's record for the first time since 1998, denounced the systematic killing of children belonging to religious and ethnic minorities by ISIL, including several cases of mass execution of boys, as well as reports of beheadings, crucifixions of children, and burying children alive. And King Hussein Obama does nothing. Children and minorities have been captured in many places, sold in the marketplace with tags, price tags on them. They have been sold as slaves. I'm not making it up. You can't make this up. The 18 independent experts who worked on the report called on Iraqi authorities to take all measures to rescue children, blah, blah, blah. Now, why don't you call on American authorities to rescue the children? Tell King Hussein about this, because he said they're not a terrorist group. What are they if they're not a terrorist group? I mean, we're living in a madhouse. Let's go back to unprotected talk. Any topic, please, not just the madness of the times. Okay? You're listening to The Savage Nation, line number 3333. Go ahead. What's on your mind, number 3?
Brian, WBOB, Jacksonville, Florida. And I would like to answer a question. It might be a rhetorical question you asked earlier. It said, what do you want to say? I want you to keep telling the truth. I want you to have the courage. I want you to have the energy. And most importantly, I want you to have the integrity to keep going with what you're doing. Sooner or later, people are going to wake up. Now, I also want to show a contrast to what you're trying to talk about with him not identifying the terrorist group. So let's contrast yesterday's event with how much energy and enthusiasm he went after that police officer when the police officer arrested that professor. Ergo, we had the beer summit. Now, my God, if he would have put that much energy into yesterday or trying to figure out how to keep these terrorists from killing people, we'd be better off.
So look, the essence of Obama is this. He's a community organizer. He has expertise in manipulating domestic politics. He's never been skilled at foreign politics. He doesn't understand the international scene whatsoever. He's a stooge and a dunce. They laugh at him. He went to China, and he comes back saying that he had a great meeting. When he sent to China, he'll give up everything, and China said they'll do it in 2045, and he was shocked to find out China is not his best friend. Every way you turn, he's made a mess of things. But in America, he's running wild in the streets because he's been able to neutralize the blank Republicans. The Republicans don't stand for anything, so of course he's running roughshod over them.
Well,
I don't know how to conclude my response to you other than to say this: you ask me to stay strong. I try my best. I have my own methodology of doing so. Some days it's easier than others. But I want to remind you of something. I was watching a documentary about pilots in Vietnam, the early days of the Vietnam War, when the fighter pilots, the Wild Weasels, went in to take out the first enemy anti-aircraft batteries, which were phenomenal. They were the size of telephone poles. And they had to fly into the enemy strongholds against very well-emplaced, very well-hidden anti-aircraft batteries. And one of the Top Gun pilots, I forget his name. He was just a great hero. Those guys were amazing. And we still have guys just like them, incidentally. We have the best Air Force in the world. Unfortunately, it's run by a weasel. But nevertheless, he had inside his helmet that he wore inside the cockpit of his plane. I forget what he was flying. Probably my friend's father was one of those heroes. He flew 200 missions. His name was May, Jason's father. I forget what they flew. They were very dangerous planes with small wings. They were phenomenally fast, very powerful fighter bombers. But this guy had inside his helmet something he wrote with a felt-tip pencil, which said, "I am the greatest pilot on Earth." And what they said was the man had to do this every day and risk his life, and he had to think he was the best because that's what it took in order to be the best. And it's the same in any other endeavor, including radio. Unless you think you're the best, you're not going to be the best. And so, trust me, I think I'm the best, and I'll continue to do the best I can, and I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. What a good day it is. And we've been having, I think, a very, you know, it's a show that moves around. It's not that hard focused today as it was yesterday. I mean, yesterday, if I put it in baseball terms, I hit it not out of the park. It was beyond that. And it was entitled Islamic Set Pilot on Fire, Progressive World Yawns. And we put together a 21-minute and 42-second recording of the best of yesterday's show, which is up on michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to play it for you now, but I think if you missed yesterday, you missed an awful lot. It's where I said, why doesn't Obama say Islamic State? Why does he suddenly call it this organization? And it was a furtherance of his cover-up of the connection between terrorism and Islam. Now, mind you, I'm aware of the fact that the Jordanian pilot was a Muslim. I understand that. And I also understand that the king of Jordan is a Muslim. I also understand that Jordan is a Muslim nation. I understand all of that. But that does not diminish the realities of the Islamic State. Nor does it mean we should now soft pedal the connection between Islamic State and their fanatical 6th century view of the Quran. It's that simple. And as I said yesterday, ISIS is not crisis because it's not the Christian state. ISIS is not Jisis because it's not the Jewish state setting people alive in a cage. ISIS is not Bisis because it's not a Buddhist state setting people alive in a cage. And ISIS is not Hisis because it's not Hindus setting a man alive in a cage. We've never seen anything like that in our lifetime, ever. Ever. It's a death cult. And there's only one way to annihilate the death cult, which is hellfire. That's why we have hellfire missiles. That's what the weapons were developed for. But don't tell that to King Hussein. But King Abdullah knows that. He said he will pursue them until bullets and bombs and fuel run out. I pray to God I wake up tomorrow morning and I see ISIS's strongholds on fire. I pray to God I wake up to that. You know how pleased I was to get up this morning and see that they hung that rat woman and her rat brethren in the jail there without going to Eric Holder to see if she can have a trial in Amman. They didn't bring it to justice in Amman. They hung her. Unbelievable, the difference. It's a tale of two nations. But there are other things to talk about. I mean, not as emotionally charged, admittedly, as this. You know, it's terrible what's going on out there when you have a government that's in denial and you have a people that's enraged with fear and anger. That's what you have right now. So now we have good sound for you. And I don't believe it was a turning point for Jordan. It's the turning point for Jordan against ISIS. It should have been the turning point for the entire Western world to see an innocent man set afire inside a cage. But you didn't hear that. You know why? I'm going to tell you the dirty truth. You're not going to like what you're going to hear. Because the radical left America haters, like Michael Moore, in my opinion, the ones who hate America, who hate the military, who hate the police, who hate the church, who hate the mother, who hate the father, you know what they said? He got what he deserved. After all, he was a pilot dropping bombs on them. They gave him what he gave them. You don't think the liberal progressives said that? You don't understand how a diseased mind operates, do you? Well, I got news for you. That's why the American press and that's why the American left is not saying very much about setting a man on fire. You understand this? Now I'm going to call some numbers out. When I call your number, name, station, topic, line one, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
I'm in Las Vegas. My name is Mark, and I'm calling about the Muslim menace. And I got to tell you, the Muslims have ruined my life because I'm a second-generation rocket scientist. And what they did is they took over NASA and told us to help Muslims.
And wait. You mean they took over NASA? I know he took us out of the moon world, and he turned us into passengers on a Russian rocket. I get it. What, they told you to do what for Muslims at NASA?
They wanted us to help engage Muslims into science. And the only thing they ever contributed was they invented the zero. And that's
yes,
the,
that's all they gave the world was the zero, and that was about 1,000 years ago. I'm aware of that. Yeah, I wonder why there haven't been any Muslim advances in science and medicine. How's that I mean, I know the answer. Because they have not yet come to understand that they're imprisoned by their ideology. It's a terrible story. And we'll continue to talk about this and other topics, all the latest breaking news right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Hellcat, it's astounding. It's like driving a fighter plane. No, it's a shocking car. The Dodge Hellcat, I put it back in the garage. It was like a terrifying experience. it's too much torque. No, it's awesome. I mean, I hit the foot, and they warned me. They said, when you step on the pedal, make believe there's an egg between your foot and the gas pedal. Because the first time you can spin this car out, 710 horsepower, 204-mile-an-hour car, like just what I needed, yes. It has such a beautiful sound to it. I feel as though if I hit a certain button, I can fly in the car. No, it's like flying a fighter jet with four wheels, you know? This is an amazing car. It's like for the Bonneville Salt Flats. So you say, well, what do you need a car that fast in a time like this? Because I want it. How's that for an answer? You know what I do? You know what I do to relax at night? I watch car shows. Sometimes I can't take it. I watch a car show, like guys who buy them and sell them and fix them and this and that. Or the guys that repair them. I'm always amazed at the Eddie who can work with his hands, fabricate metal, build things, make things. What a country. I love this country. This is the country I know. It's the country I love. And the more I think about it, I probably should have been like a mechanic rather than a talk show host and an all-around writer or whatever. No, you know, it's interesting how a person's life could go when you look back on your life. What could you have been? What should you have been? It's not that I'm complaining. But I love automobiles so much, and I love people who know how to work on them and make parts and fix and take things out and put things in and pistons and how they can make something run. It's amazing to me. And I realize what it means to the progressive to see a man like that or a plumber who can put a pipe in, how he sneers at you, you know, or a man who can cut a piece of wood, what it means to the progressive snot noses who don't know how to use a saw or a hammer. They break a finger if you gave them a hammer. Imagine putting a hammer in Michael Moore's hand and giving him a test. Either you drive the nail straight in three blows or we send you to ISIS and drop you by parachute over ISIS. That guy would not know how to drive a nail straight. Say, well, what's the advantage to that? I don't know. Think about it. No, but I love cars. So I was thinking, when I was young, I was thinking about why did I go down the road of such academia? I even hated school. I don't even know why, because I was like pushed that direction. It was like below me, you know, I wasn't allowed to do it. There's a lot of things I could have done. But, you know, at the end of the day, you wind up, I think there's fate. I truly believe that there's some kind of destiny and fate in a person's life. We're driven in a certain direction by the things that happen to us, by our own inclinations. And you say, well, how did this happen? There's always turns of fate. But, you know, I got to tell you something about radio. Everyone stood in my way in the beginning. People wanted me to fail. When I started on a local station, I was the only conservative at that station. They try to undermine me every day. They did everything they could to make the show not work. Every impediment known to mankind was put in my way. I would not let anything stop me. Nothing. I made up my mind I was going to be a syndicated host. Right, I'm talking 20 years ago. Now, it took me a long time to get there. And you'd say, oh, it's so easy. Well, it isn't easy. It's a struggle in any field. Whether you own a bakery or a talk show host, you have to make sure you produce a quality product every day, or soon the customers will stop coming. Am I right, Robert? Like if Robert screwed up on the board enough times, which he won't do. He's too good. He's a professional. Or Jim. It's like anything else. You can't afford to mess up unless you're the president or work for the government. Then you can mess up and get away with it because no one can do anything about it. And you thought you lived in a democracy. Ha, 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 ha. No, you don't. But anyway, that's what I do is I watch these car shows. But I don't know, I haven't driven the Hellcat enough. I put it in a garage. I'm already thinking of selling it in 20 years when I'm dead, what the family will get for it. Can you imagine a mint condition Hellcat in 20 years with like 50 miles? this garage find has 50 miles on it. It was owned by the talk shows and famous author Michael Savage. What would it bring? I have the original window sticker. Now I'm going to drive it a little bit. Not now, not tonight. It's going to rain here in the Bay Area. We have the Pineapple Express coming through. That's what we call it. We've had unseasonably dry weather in January. And I checked my calendar. You're not going to believe this. I keep a journal going back out, like yearly day planner. Exactly a year ago, tomorrow, it rained for 3 days. Like, oh, really? It rains in February in San Francisco? You're kidding me. Oh, you mean there's a snowpack comes in the high Sierra in February? I didn't know that. I thought it was global warming and everything changed. No, and every February is the same thing. It's a very wet month, February. Same exact thing. All over again. So we have the Pineapple Express coming in, which is a trough, a weather trough coming in out of the Hawaiian region, like the Hawaiian Ridge. And it's going to bring moist tropical air and dump water on us and hopefully put a little end to this drought nonsense that the lunatics are talking about like they never heard of it before. For those idiots who were not born in the area, and there are people who were born here who are still idiots, and then there are people like me who were not born here who are not idiots, the California is a Mediterranean climate, which means roughly 6 months of dry and then some wet. And that's how it works. That's how it's worked for millennia. That's how it will continue to work for millennia, long after you progressives are dead and pushing up daisies. And on the weather, that's all I want to say. Now let's go to the callers. Line number 7. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
This is Zenon, WJR in Detroit.
Did you say Zenon?
Yes, that's a Polish name.
I thought you was Xenon. It's interesting. It's a rare gas.
Anyways, I'm the proud father of 2 United States Marines.
God bless you.
And my purpose of my call is to accurately define and identify the terms American Dream and Original Illegal Immigrant for the Hernandez, Gutierrez, and Rivera's of the world. First of all, if you live anywhere from the southern tip of Tierra del Fuego to the island of Greenland, you are in the American hemisphere living the American dream. In the United States.
You don't? You mean people live as well in Chile as they do here?
Well, that's the second part of my call. The Spanish, or I should say the Iberians, from the Iberian Peninsula, Portuguese and Spanish, first came to the Americas in the late 1400s, so actually they have had almost an extra 150 years to develop their own form of the American dream. And if you look in the dictionary or the...
How'd that work out for Argentina?
Obviously not very well.
Well, but you're arguing that the Americas are one and the same, and they're quite not one and the same.
But the America is a hemisphere.
I understand. I learned that in the fifth grade in the Bronx. So what's the point of your call?
Well, the point of my call is that from the Rio Grande South, it virtually encompasses 2/3 of the American hemisphere. It's not as if the history.
You know, you're hawking me at Shinik. I don't know what you're talking. With all due respect, sir, you're hawking me at Shinik. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying that on the illegal, original illegal immigrants.
Oh, so the original illegal immigrants were the Spaniards, right?
That's what I'm saying, because the Gutierrez.
Yeah, they were horrible people. They killed with impunity. They killed tens of thousands, if not more, Aztecs, right, all for their quest for gold. Okay. In South America, when they finally had established their lands, in Brazil, they used to shoot for sport. They would shoot the natives out of cannons on weekends for the women and children to watch. I know that as well.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to defend.
I mean, they committed horrible atrocities. So what's your point?
Well, that we have a good version of. We shouldn't be apologetic, the United States, towards.
Who's apologetic? I'm not apologetic. Are you? I'm not apologetic. I'm not apologizing. It's the greatest country on earth, no matter what Obama's done to it. No matter what he still will do to it, we will survive this man. We will survive this man. The country is too strong. The institutions are too strong. And the people are too strong. We will survive this man's deviousness and his hatred for the country.
Mike, here you are. I'm on your side.
I know, but I'm getting apoplexy because I don't know quite what's. Let's do it this way. Make believe you finished the conversation. What's the last point?
The last point is, all these people that are coming to the United States, immigrating here, if they don't love their own countries enough to stay there and improve their own countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico, why should we think they're going to come here to make our country any better?
Why, you think I do?
Oh, no, I'm not saying you do.
Well, they're not coming here to make the country better. They're coming here for the free services.
Exactly.
They're coming here because King Hussein has offered them a gold-plated immigration plan. He's giving transgendered immigrants treatment in the facilities that cost a fortune and telling our veterans to wait on a line. You talk about insanity in an upside-down nation. You got a lunatic running the country. It doesn't matter that he doesn't look crazy. The man may as well be a nut babbling to himself and drooling on himself. That's all. Other than that, I have no opinion about the President of the United States of America. I love people say, how dare you insult the office of the presidency? Why, you mean he's above commentary? All of a sudden he became above commentary. You know, why shouldn't you criticize a man who's devastating a nation? The man is like a locust, like a plague of locusts going through the American institutions and protected by the Red Guards in the academic media establishment. I gave you that show on Monday. Red Guards. Who else can teach you that? Nobody. They don't know history. They focus on Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. I don't want to do it. If that's what you want, you know where to get it. That's as simple as that. Line number three. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
KSFO. My name is Mike. My topic is ISIS versus the Hellcat. Picture, if you would, an entire brigade of Hellcats screaming across the Iraqi desert in a V formation with you, Doctor, in the lead, of course, blaring a tape that consists of the theme from Rocky, Enter Sandman, and Charlie Brown. Would that not...
Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm driving there in my car or I'm flying there in a plane?
Oh, the C-17s of the Air Force would take the entire brigade to the coast, whereupon you would form up and start your drive across the desert.
In a Dodge?
In all Dodges, all Hellcats.
I don't know that they can drive. What do we have to protect ourselves with? They're not armored, for God's sakes. No, that doesn't work for me. I'm not going to volunteer for that brigade. No, sorry, Bob. Here's a story from the Catholic Herald. Iraqi Christians form militia to fight ISIS. Christians in Iraq have formed a militia to take back their plains homeland from ISIS. The organization, the Nineveh Plains Protection Units, has more than 3,000 troops serving or awaiting training and has the backing of the Iraqi government and the Kurdish Peshmerga. This is amazing. The force has 500 Assyrian Christian troops stationed in towns. This is amazing. They're finally getting themselves together. The problem is they don't have America helping them. They don't have America willing to send weapons to the Yazidis, to the Assyrians, to the Christians. Ask yourself why. Why are we sending weapons to the Ukrainians to start World War III with Russia instead of sending weapons and training to the Christian armies in the Middle East? I'll let you figure that one out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIM. Jerry Vale, there goes my heart. So, are you ready for this? There goes Jeb Bush. Finished. Toast. He's done. Dramatically expand immigrant work permits. Not possible to control our border. Repopulate Detroit with immigrants. Ridiculous not to give accelerated citizenship to young illegals. This is all in the Drudge Report. 3-4 articles. It's amazing to me. It's just a shock. Well, I'm not shocked that Jeb Bush stands for that. So did his brother. So did his father. So I mean, there's no difference there. There was only one candidate who opposed work permits for illegals, and that was Mitt Romney. As moderate as he was, they destroyed him because of that. Because the establishmentarians want open borders and they want cheap labor, and Democrat voters don't matter to them. Means nothing to them. Cheap labor, cheap labor, cheap labor. Okay? Doesn't matter if there's a measles epidemic brought in by Obama's 100,000 unvaccinated children. Doesn't matter. No, blame that on elites who don't vaccinate their children. Just change the subject. So Jeb is finished now. So who does that leave us? The idiot? The warmonger? No, I don't believe it. If they run McCain, I'm going to have to leave the country. I wouldn't leave the country for any reason. My grandfather was an immigrant here. I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving the country. They'll leave first. I'll drive them out at the tip of a bayonet. They're not driving me out. But the thing is, I want to ask you something. How can a Republican Party have the nerve to offer up John McCain, the crazed warmonger? Because that's what they're going to do. Mark my words, they're going to bring the foamer back. So that's the story. Repopulate Detroit with immigrants, said Jeb Bush. He said, that's how you can rebuild the city. Can you believe this? WJR, you listening to this? He said, bring immigrants by the hundreds of thousands into Detroit, and you'll rebuild the city. How does that work? He suggested that the mayor of Detroit should open up the doors in a fair way and unleash the spirit of people's hard work. And he said, then Detroit could become in really short order one of the great American cities again. You mean it wouldn't look like Tijuana? He said, no, it would look different. It wouldn't be Polish, but it would be just as powerful, just as exciting, just as dynamic. Well, if you like Tijuana, I mean, you know, Tijuana on the lake, why not? And he said, that's what immigration does, and to be fearful of this, it just seems bizarre to me. And then he praised the courage of Senator Marco Rubio, who I've called the ice cream man, in pursuing the bipartisan Senate immigration. Oh, you know the whole story. It was done years ago. And I must tell you, this is being released now by the communists on the left from the opposition research group that's been funded by Soros called American Bridge. So they're trying to undermine Bush through his past statements. The problem is he hasn't repudiated them. I'd like them to find some of Hillary's past statements, such as you should empathize with the enemy, or laughing when she executed Gaddafi, you know, stuff like that. You'd think the Republicans could do some opposition research. No, no, not the Republicans. Remember Hillary's statement? Shut the music off. We'll do it later. Hillary's past statements include you should have empathy for the enemy. How'd that work out in Iraq? I'll be right back tomorrow to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. In the meantime, pray for America.
Savage.